Our first speaker this morning is a native of Maryland, U.S. District Court Judge from the Northern District of Texas. Ms. Sarah Hughes has practiced law since 1922. Lawyer, instructor, member of various professional and civic clubs, recipient of innumerable awards, it is my honor to introduce to you the only woman to have sworn in a president of the United States.
I'm very glad to see all of you this morning. I'm talking on my favorite subject, which is politics. Very early in my life, I decided that I was interested in politics. When I was in high school, which was long before women had the right to vote, I made a speech in favor of women's suffrage. And then in 1912, still before women had the right to vote, I attended a Democratic National Convention in Baltimore, Maryland. So when women had the right to vote, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to get into politics. And the best way of getting into politics is to be a lawyer. So that's what I determined I'd be. I went to George Washington University, graduated from there in 1922, and went to Dallas, Texas with my husband to practice. Politics was a big thing in Texas. It was all one party. We were all so-called Democrats. There were plenty of conservatives there, but the Republican Party had nobody in it. They all voted Democratic. Well, at that time, the Klan was very much in evidence in Texas. As a matter of fact, the governor of the state was a member of the Klan. Everybody in Dallas County was a member of the Klan. So I immediately started working for the anti-Klan candidates. And I finally, now that was in 1922 when I started supporting anti-Klan candidates. And by the time 1930 rolled around, I had decided that I had been in Texas long enough. Of course, I was still a damn Yankee because I had been born in Maryland and had lived there for most of my life. But I decided that I could dig up some relatives in the South and that I might be able to get by. And so I announced for the Texas legislature. Of course, I knew quite well that there was some opposition to women as candidates. There are some people who won't vote for a woman. But that made me decide to work just harder than ever. And I went around to everybody in Dallas County, and I mean everybody. I went through the buildings and shook hands with the people in the buildings. I went to one office, and I always said very sweetly, "I hope you'll vote for me." And some woman whose hand I shook said, "Indeed, I will not." And I said, "Well, why?" And she said, "You shake hands too hard." But I decided that there were plenty of people who didn't mind shaking hands with me hard. And then another thing that was to my advantage was that I had a very loud voice. I know years later I was impaneling a jury in court down there in Dallas County, and somebody said, "You don't have to worry. They can hear you up at Sanger Brothers," which was about two blocks off. Well, I think that was a little exaggeration, but I rather liked it that there wasn't any loud speaker because I did have a good voice. And then when we did have a loudspeaker the next year, I didn't like it because I could be heard and some of my opponents couldn't. But anyway, I did get elected because, you know, even though some people don't like women, other people don't like people with red ties. So you don't talk to the people that have red ties if you're going to try to get their vote.
And if you know that a person isn't going to vote for you, you don't speak to them. But you don't argue with them. Never, never, when you're a candidate, argue with anybody. And don't, as a matter of fact, don't tell them all about yourself. The shortest time that you can spend with somebody that you want to vote with you, do it. Shake hands and move on to the next one. You don't have time to tell everybody exactly what you think because you don't have the time. Well, anyway, I did get elected to the legislature. And I got elected three terms. And then the governor of the state, there was a vacancy in the 14th District Court in Dallas County. And he said that he would appoint me if I wanted it. But he said, your senator is opposed to you. I said, send my name up to the Senate. So he did. But the senator made the serious mistake of saying she ought to be home washing dishes. So I telephoned all of the senators. I went home that weekend. Telephoned all of the senators that I could possibly contact, had my picture taken and put in the paper, washing dishes. And then I kept on calling the senators. And because he had said, and it had been in the paper, I ought to be in the kitchen washing dishes, the women got behind me. Now, they might like to be in the kitchen themselves, but they sure didn't want to say that they had to be there. And so they got behind me. I had the support of the women. I had the support, actually had the support of the lawyers, too, because I guess they thought I was going to get it anyway. They might as well support me. So I did. I was appointed to the district court. And after that, I ran for the office. I think it was six times, yes. First became judge in 1935 and continued each 4 years. And, you know, some judges get by without getting an opponent because after you've first been in, it is easier. But they didn't let me alone because, after all, I was a woman and I was supposed to... and not supposed to be a judge. And so they came right after me, and three times I had an opponent, but I was elected. And then, let's see what I did next. Well, oh yes, I ran for Congress, which was a dire mistake. Still only one party, but I was a liberal, and I found out that Dallas County, while they were supposedly all Democrats, were really half of them Republicans. And so the half that were Republicans voted for my opponent, and he was elected. So you do have to watch out and see exactly whether you're on the right track. Don't try to do something absolutely impossible, which was something that I tried to do. Well, then I kept on as a district judge because I had been elected and hadn't resigned to run for Congress. Well, then let's see what happened. Oh, yes, what happened next was the Business and Professional Women's Club endorsed me for Vice President of the United States. And they endorsed Margaret Chase Smith for the Republican nomination and me for the Democratic nomination. And she didn't come to the Republican convention because she was ill. Her mother was ill. But I went to the Democratic convention and just had a wonderful, wonderful time. We set up headquarters. Of course, we knew we wouldn't get anywhere, but it was just loads and loads of fun. We set up headquarters. We had a press conference. I went around and spoke to all of the delegations. But this is a problem. The speaker is not going to recognize you, or the chairman is not going to, oh, excuse me, the chair, we called him chairman then, doesn't recognize you unless he wants to. You know, I don't need all those glasses. So I had to get the permission first of the man who was become, who was going to be nominated for president, and that was Stevenson, to run for office, to be nominated. And then you had to get recognized by the chair, and that was Sam Rayburn. And Sam Rayburn is a hard customer, but I did know him, so I called him and told him I wanted to have my name placed in nomination. He said, well, I'll let you do it. Just so, immediately after you've been nominated, you withdraw your nomination. So I had gone to all of the delegations, and I had 1.5 votes. That was from Maine, I want you to know. And then I had 1/2 a vote from some other state. But that was all right, too. And I had someone put my name in nomination, and then I had a parade. And then I got up and withdrew my name. But it was loads of fun, I want you to know. And, you just ought to try it sometime, even if you know you're not going to win. Just try it. Well, then the next thing that happened was I decided that I wanted to be a United States District Judge. Well, now, don't think for one moment that President Kennedy looked all around the state of Texas and decided that I was the most qualified lawyer in the state of Texas. No, he didn't know me at all. So I had to get the people that did know me to ask him. Well, I knew of Vice President Johnson. I'd campaigned for him when he ran for the Senate. I knew my my United States Senator, Senator Yarborough. I'd known him since I was in the legislature, and we had worked together. Then I'd worked for him when he ran for the Senate. And then I knew Speaker Rayburn, and I'll tell you, he was wonderful. I had campaigned with him for every president from 1928 on, for beginning with Al Smith, and going right on through. So when you want something, you have to know people who know people. You can't just do everything yourself. I knew that President Kennedy wouldn't find me without the assistance of some of these stalwarts. And so they spoke to him about me. But I was still, you know, I was at that time, now you can count up my age now if you want to. Hey, this was 1961. I was 65 years old. I was disapproved by the American Bar Association because I was too old. But Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General, went up to the House of Representatives to get some bills passed. And he said to the Speaker, can you get these bills passed for me? And the Speaker said, yes, I can get them passed if you'll pass Sarah Hughes for District Judge. And that's the way I did it. You can't do it by yourself. You've got to have assistance. But I want to tell you also that the Business and Professional Women's Club stood behind me every minute. They sent telegrams to the president. They sent telegrams to the attorney general. And they sent telegrams to anybody else that they could think of, I think. But anyway, they got me appointed. And that was in 1961. I've been struggling ever since. I assumed a senior status 2 years ago, but I have been doing a full-time job. In fact, I'm trying all of the criminal cases in Dallas County, which is a full-time docket.
I think if you want to run for office, you have to prepare yourself first. You have to want the job bad enough. You have to be determined if you're going to really get it. You have to have courage, because they will call you all sorts of names, I'll tell you that. When I was running for the legislature, you might have thought that I slept with every other man, or that I got drunk two or three times a week, and they had to carry me out of the gutter in order to get me home. So they'll just say anything about you, and you just can't bother about what people say about you. But then you can't do anything by yourself. You have to have the cooperation of other people, and that's other women particularly, but other men too. So